Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, your purveyor of all that is geeky, the helm of the ship of nerdy. Wow, that really sounded just dorky. Forget I said that. This is what happens when you have too much time to yourself. You just start, you know, entertaining yourself and coming up with things that you probably shouldn't say out loud. Just a hunch. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, the tremendously talented jewelry crafter that we link every week to our podcast. Go check out Suzy's Instagram, her webpage, her Facebook, constantly crafting up some wicked, wicked stuff. I mean, earrings, bracelets, you name it, chainmail. She's doing this project on Instagram. She's been posting pictures periodically of this chainmail suit that she's building. I mean, she is a licensed blacksmith, but I mean, what better project thing to do during a pandemic than, you know, craft your own chainmail armor for when the zombie apocalypse happens? Because we don't know what the season finale of 2020 is going to be like. I mean, half of the country's on fire, so zombie apocalypse only makes sense for the season finale of 2020. Just saying. Silly, silly stuff. Go check out Suzy Q's. We love Suzy. She's great. Normally, she'd be at cons with us, bringing you the latest with pictures and interviews and such. But alas, we're stuck at home. But the cons are still going on. Well, kind of. Great segue, Smurf. I've gotten updates, emails from different conventions that normally that I would be attending have all decided to shift to virtual conventions, and some of them have been interesting. I mean, the Oscars went virtual, or the Emmys, excuse me, not the Oscars. The Emmys went virtual this week, which was semi-entertaining. There were some funny takeaways. So everyone just trying to cope and entertain the best that they can. So New York Comic Con has announced its second wave of panels and events that they will be holding virtually. This should be up now, according to what my email says, because I think this was available on the 21st. So it should be up by the time you hear this. What do they got? Okay, so they've got the Digital New York Comic Cons and MCM Comic Cons Metaverse, which will be running from October 8th through the 11th. It'll be on their YouTube channel, exclusively live streaming panels from leading entertainment brands. Now, I've gone and checked some of the content that they've posted or that they were alluding to in the email that they sent me, and it's, you know, it's entertaining. It looks like they will have some fun stuff, sure. It's just so hit or miss on some of this, because we've got, like, inside the world of the Wolfwalkers from Apple TV. The big one that stood out to me, there is a couple, actually. The Smallville cast, 20 years of fandom, so they're going to have a few people from the Smallville cast. Tom Welling, of course, Erica Durance, Laura Vandervoet, Michael Rosenbaum, of course. What would a reunion be without Lex? So that one I actually kind of interested in and will want to tune into. There was I think that was it. The Viz and Powerhouse Animation present series Monos, which looks kind of interesting. IDW presents The World of Lock and Key was the other one that I'm really interested in. They're basically taking us through the book, the show, and I think what to expect next in what Lock and Key has planned? Because I know they also have like a crossover planned with like the Stephen King universe, and in addition to the Sandman. And I'm just really anxious to see what is left for, or what is next, basically, for Lock and Key. But this is all posted up on the New York Comic Con website, since, again, we would be there, but we're not. Makes me sad in pants. So check that out. If there's anything of like major relevance or you know erupting news, for sure we'll share it with you. That's what I do, because all I do is sit at a computer these days. Other cons that have sent me some info is the Telluride Horror Show, and this, oh my God, is absolutely spectacular. They're showing 11 feature films, 40 short films, and they're from like 13 different countries, and this looks really cool. I mean, again, going to the film festival is much more entertaining, but I mean, I do enjoy my sound system in my home. I mean, it is rather large and excessive. Yeah, I have two subwoofers. I don't need them. I just like them. So the Telluride Horror Show, you can purchase passes for this, and the horror show is running October 15th through the 18th. So this will be, I mean, when it comes to horror, I think they kind of, you know, I mean, they've been doing this for forever, and I mean, this is kind of like the benchmark for horror film fest, without a doubt. But in addition to like the films and everything, they are doing like free and open to the public, like streaming interviews. The big standout to me, of course, is Max Brooks, Mel Brooks's son, who has done the zombie survival guide, zombie apocalypse survival guide, which is absolutely so well crafted. It reads like a survival manual. What Max did with that is great. And of course, you know, World War Z and a bunch of other, you know, interesting films and that he's been a part of and has written. The other standout for me on this one was the Hail to the Deadites, which is a documentary that is dedicated to, of course, Army of Darkness and Evil Dead franchise. And, you know, they are going to be doing, like, interviews with cast members, Bruce Campbell, Ted Raimi, of course, because those two are just, like, a package deal when it comes to creative powerhouse of both, you know, comedy and horror. And just, I mean, they're niche. What I think about those two teaming up together, that all I can see is it's just going to be entertaining. Weird, but entertaining. It's on its own level. Nobody can imitate it. Nobody can reproduce it. It is unique unto those two guys, without a doubt. So those are the two big standouts. I know more information is going to be coming up for Telluride and what all films. The films are extensive, and without any like reference or trailers, I can't go into them too deeply, but if you go to the Telluride website, TellurideHorrorFest.com, they do have some of the postings up, and I can put a link for what they have going on in the page, so you can check it out. It is worth the watch. Well, look. Well, yeah, the whole thing. Hey, otherwise, would you ever go to the Telluride Horror Fest? Let's be honest. Telluride, not like just down the road. It's, you know, a little out of the way. Not everyone is going to go running to the hills for... See, that just starts a horror film right there. Going to the mountains to watch horror movies and to be part of a horror con. Yeah, see? Doesn't it sound like a teenage slasher film? Actually, come to think of it, it almost sounds like Phantoms. Yeah, you know. Dean Koontz at his best. Of course, all of Dean Koontz's books end the same. Kind of like, you know. Well, anyway, we won't go into that. What else is going on? So, more and more information has started to leak out on The Animaniacs that is coming to Hulu. Of course, we got to see this week a cool little trailer, little filler behind the scenes moment of everybody coming back to together, which is so, you know, it tugs on the heartstrings a little bit to see everybody reunited. It's just like, oh, so cool. And just to see, it's always entertaining to me to see the actors doing the voices, because some of them just get so into it, and it's just so much fun for me anyway as a voice actor, and just to see someone else doing it to make sure that I'm just not completely insane when I'm doing, you know, voice work and stuff like that. So it is fun. I'm excited to see the Animaniacs come back. This is probably one of the few times that I think there is a need and there is a niche for this, because let's face it, Warner Brothers is always kind of recycled, try to keep up with the times, and I don't see it as so much as like a reboot or an extension. It's just continuing the story. And we've got a kind of a fresher look. They still look the same, but they're just kind of updated slightly a little bit. We also get Pinky and the Brain back as well. Rob Paulsen, of course, will be doing both Yakko and Pinky. And it just, he just gets this happy smile on his face when he's working. And it's really fun to, like I said, just to see him. Now, according to information that has come out with this trailer, they are still saying they are on schedule for their episodes to hit November 20th. And then, of course, season two will be sometime in 2021. So they're promising that this is gonna happen. It's on the books. What other characters will be reappearing is the big question, because I'm curious myself. Half of the fun of the Animaniacs, of course, were the songs, but, you know, the interaction with the other characters. I'm sure we will see some new characters come to light, some ones that, you know, we're all like, hey, that's kind of cool, and another you'll be like, that's not so cool. There were a couple. I mean, I didn't care for the kid and the dog, to be honest with you. I don't remember the name of them. That's how much I really just, I didn't care. And I know that's horrible for me to say, especially for a cartoon. But Buttons, maybe? I don't know. I don't remember. And Slappy the Squirrel was kind of 50-50 with me. There were times that she was funny, and then there were other times where it was just like, eh, could do without it. It's just, it kind of struck me as like, you know, somebody's drunk aunt, even though she was a grandmother? Yeah. No, she was Aunt Slappy. She was. Never mind. Yeah, drunk aunt. I'm going to stick with that. But when you look at the competition and everything else across the board, I do think that Animaniacs will probably do a better job than DuckTales. And I don't know, I still kind of go back and forth, because some of the things I like that they've done with DuckTales, and there's other parts that I'm just like, why? You're ruining it. You're ruining it, man. Stop it. Don't do anymore. Stop wrecking my childhood. But I'm excited to see it. It won't be long now, especially with it coming out in November. Before you know it, that will be here. And yeah, it's not that far off. What else is going on? Lots going on, actually. So first of all, and this story kind of hit not long after I had finished last week's podcast, so this might be a little bit late. So Tatiana Maslany has gotten probably the best role available in Marvel Comics. And I know this is one, actually, I've been screaming since like year two of the MCU movie universe, and that is She-Hulk. She was completely overlooked, just kind of left behind. And I thought there was just such a huge, there's a huge potential for this character. And just to see her kind of like, meh. I mean, as much as I love Captain Marvel, the movie didn't do really a whole lot of justice. But She-Hulk and Captain Marvel kind of suffer from the same kind of weird niche that they really don't know what to do with the character. And I get that. But to name Tatiana as She-Hulk is absolutely tremendous. Because, okay, totally Orphan Black, great series. Couldn't talk enough about it. And then, of course, Tatiana shows up on Perry Mason for HBO and just absolutely killed it. Loved her character in Perry Mason. And I can only hope that for season two, fingers crossed, that she comes back at some capacity or it somehow, some way. She is extremely talented. Just when I was watching like her interviews from back in the day when she was, you know, trying to do the different characters from Orphan Black and just try to, you know, embody their personalities and her approach to it. I mean, the woman is wickedly talented. So I'm excited to see her kind of take on Jennifer Walters as, you know, the lawyer side of She-Hulk, and then how she's going to be like all hulked out. I mean, that would be kind of fun to see, in my opinion. Just to put her up there. And of course, you know, Mark Ruffalo, huge, you know, supporter, sends, you know, a rousing message to her when it's announced that she's going to be the She-Hulk. And, you know, it's kind of fun. Now, back in the day, now this isn't the first time that Marvel has tried to do She-Hulk. And thank God it really never kind of took off. Because back in 1991, Brigitte Nielsen was on kind of call to do this movie. Of course, it never really got out. There were some promotional shots that they did for the film, and it thankfully just never went anywhere. Of course, this is right the time that Brigitte was doing Red Sonja and, you know, just also Rocky, because she's Ivan Drago's wife. And just also she was in Beverly Hills Cop. I almost forget about that every time. But yeah, she was in Beverly Hills Cop. I think it was two or three. I can't remember. No, I think it's two. Beverly Hills Cop 2. And I mean, and this is like at the high point of her popularity. So, and it only made sense. I mean, Brigitte was like this huge specimen. So I never really cared for her acting. She was funny as Red Sonja, in my opinion. But to see her as She-Hulk, I think would have been a huge, huge waste. And again, I think we're finally at that point with the technology and the special effects that we can do this properly. Because, I mean, let's face it, I never thought I would see a Hulk as well done as we saw in the movies. I never really thought we would get to that level. Even like Ang Lee's Hulk was okay, but it was still kind of cartoony and over exaggerated, and that may have been Ang's thought and what he wanted to do with it, but it still was kind of hokey. But what we saw in Avengers and everything following, I never thought we'd see that, ever. It would look so real. You could go up and touch him, poke him. Probably wouldn't like that. Yeah, don't do that. But no other story on what's going to happen, where this is going to happen. She's on board. She signed. So where she'll pop up first, anyone's guess. I mean, maybe we'll see her in Thor. I don't know if we'd see her as early as Thor, but I mean, that is a possibility, and then kind of lead into her own movie. That would be kind of cool. I would like a slow build up on her, kind of like bring her in and then just kind of like ramp her up, kind of like what they did with Black Panther. Like all of a sudden, you know, he's just there. He's part of the story, and then we get, you know, the fill-in later. But I think that would just be, I want to see that. That would be, I think, perfect for She-Hulk. Just like all of a sudden, you know, she just shows up, and everyone's like, who's that? That's my cousin, you know? I can see Mark Ruffalo just totally getting into that. But, you know, I don't write Marvel. I just read it. Sometimes shake my head. Like, what are you doing? But that's my thought. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I'm excited. Tatiana Maslany. Awesome choice. So good, so good, so good. What else? Oh, so also speaking of news that broke, this, you know, it's really strange for me because I've seen this movie in so many different reiterations, re-platformed. So I own it on VHS. I own it on Laserdisc. I own it on Blu-ray. I think I've got it on DVD somewhere. I have the soundtrack, which actually is kind of rare to come across, both on vinyl and CD. So anytime that something has kind of come up, there is even like a toy line that came out briefly under McFarlane's Toys when he was doing different things. Of course, I'm talking about Akira, and now it is coming back to theaters in 4K. It's going to be available both in Japanese and in Japanese with English subtitles. So the way it's supposed to be. The interesting thing about this is it always it's a staple for anime. And it's almost looked at as just kind of, I don't know, it's more of like a showpiece. People kind of like look at it and like, oh yeah, whether they've seen it or not, it's recognizable. There's a friend of mine that is absolutely, you know, impartial to it. He acknowledges for its accomplishment, the story, which, let's face it, that story and the animation combined is just one weird, trippy thing. It's kind of like back in the day when we watched The Wall. Akira was just this it started with one story and then it just took a hard right. Like, what the hell happened? Because the opening sequence on Akira is just wow. I mean, it is brutal, because you get, you know, the motorcycle gangs, you know, duking it out old school style. And then from there, it just turns into this weird sci-fi mind fuck that you're like, okay, yeah, I'll go with that. The artwork is unmatched, and the characters are, you know what, you identify, you know the bike, you know the characters, you can pick them out and go, oh yeah. So with my friend, he's just so impartial. He's just like, yeah, it's okay. And I know at this point he's just doing it just to rile us up when we talk about it, because every once in a while it'll come up when we're arguing movies or something stupid. And he's just like, yeah, it was okay. And it's so funny because he just says it so flat. And I know he's just doing it for a reaction. The release is going to be extremely limited, and it's only through Cinemark that I'm aware of right now. It's starting actually in September 24th, and you can go to Cinemark's websites, enter in your area code, your zip code, and it will let you know what is the closest theater that it is playing at. So it's kind of a limited nationwide release through Cinemark. It would be interesting because I don't think, now that I think of it, I've ever seen Akira on the big screen. I think it's literally only ever been at home. I don't think I've ever seen it in the theater. So this might be kind of fun, especially with the surround sound and having the bike chases and with it being in 4K. It's still hand-drawn. It's not like 3D, so the art is going to be, like, super crisp, I guess. I mean, when I looked at Transformers, the movie, on 4K, I was like, okay, it got rid of the graininess, but, I mean, it's still a cartoon, so I don't know if I prefer the graininess or not, so... Let me know if you're going to go to Akira. You know what? I might actually join you. Send me a direct message if you're going to go. I would love actually to have kind of a group or a bunch of friends to go see this. I know everyone else, my circles are kind of like, nah, not worth it. I'd be willing to go see it with anybody. Send me a message and I will join you. And moving on. So this really made me so happy, like over the moon happy. And it's about time that DC got its act together as they sign Henry Cavill for three sequels and several Superman appearances. like little cameos. I don't care. Have them pop up. This is great. This is what needed to happen. And I'll tell you why. Henry Cavill, super cool guy. I mean, I never realized. I mean, you can kind of like, you know, see from his acting. He seems like he'd be an intense, you know, just pumped up, action-focused kind of action hero. But when I've seen him in his interviews and some of his other stuff since I started following him, he's just a cool guy. I want to hang out with Henry Cavill. I mean, he's just as intense and fun, and the dude's cool. I want to go hang out with this cat. I mean, after watching, like, behind the scenes with The Witcher and seeing his performance with that, it only makes sense that you keep him on as Superman. Because let's face it, nobody else is going to represent the cape better than Henry Cavill, in my opinion. He kind of brings that edge with still kind of like the Superman, you know, moral foundation, you know, the believing the truth and justice and all of that. He's got that concrete foundation, I think, pretty well down. So to have him sign this, which, like I said, is a no-brainer. I can't believe it took them this long to say, okay, sure. But I know, and we talked about this a few podcasts ago, where Dwayne Johnson was pushing heavily to get Black Adam and Superman together in a fight. So I think that, and a culmination of the new Shazam movie that's coming out, Fury of the Gods, I wouldn't be surprised if we can see a little kind of back and forth with that. I know we won't get anything like Kingdom Come, where, you know, Shazam and Superman get into a really, really good knockdown, drag-out fight. But with Superman's weakness being magic, I think it would be just kind of a good little, you know, little back and forth. And then, oh, here comes Black Adam. Yeah, we better focus on the real bad guy, because everybody likes to see the heroes face off just a little bit, see who's the better hero. But then, of course, we got to get to the big bad. So if this all works out, we may get Henry Cavill in Shazam and the Black Adam film and a couple of other Superman films. So who knows what kind of crossover. Of course, Flash, I would bet guaranteed that's probably the other linchpin to this deal, is that they needed Superman for the Flash storyline. And that kind of, I think that plays well into what DC is trying to do. I think they've learned from Marvel their past mistakes, and everyone being so excited about the Snyder Cut for Justice League hitting HBO Max. I think DC is actually probably, I can hope, step back, take a look at things, and like, okay, how do we want to roadmap this? How do we want to lay this out so that it makes sense and people want to see it and we're not a laughingstock anymore? And you know what? I respect that, and I hope that's true. I want to see that come to fruition. I want a good DC film, damn it. And I know we kind of got it in Aquaman, even though it's kind of a spaghetti western style of storytelling, because it's like each scene is written by a different writer. But all in all, much more improved over, you know, what we have seen in the past. Wonder Woman, of course, can't say enough good things about it. Wonder Woman 84, when we'll see it, who knows, maybe next year. My money's on next year. They're not going to do it this year. It's too late. There's no point. And especially, oh my God, since Milan is getting like pulled early from the Japanese market because of underwhelming box office, yeah, you just scrap the year. Just done. Season finale it. It's over. But for now, Warner Brothers has Cavill. They're set to move forward with him, and I'm really, really anxious to see what they do. I just want something fun. I want a good story. I really do. DC's got so many good stories, so many things they can do, that I don't know if they're just afraid or it doesn't translate well. Who knows? I mean, Marvel just focused in on the one thing and bounced all over it, but they still hit the mark. DC can do that so easily, especially with their characters. But Anyway, moving along. Speaking of movies, trailers, our buddy Jeffrey Reddick released a holy shocking trailer to his new horror film, Don't Look Back. Oh, my God. This is... I was stunned. I had to watch this trailer just a couple times because it's just brutal in your face, but then the horror side of it kind of steps in, and it gave me goosebumps. It's giving me goosebumps now just thinking about it. I'll put a link to the trailer in this post for sure because... wow. Now, if you don't know, Jeffrey Reddick is the mind behind Final Destination. Reddick has actually been on the show a few times that we run into each other, of course, and he's gracious enough to sit down and let me interview him because Jeff is just awesome. He's such a fun, loving kind of guy. You wouldn't expect that, you know, out of a horror writer and producer, but this is like his directorial writing and producing. This is all his baby, so I'm excited to see this film, and just wow. And it does have that kind of Final Destination feel to it, just even in the trailer, just looking at like the clips, and I don't want to give away anything from the trailer and take away from it, but it just has that ooh group sensation feel, that ooh, who's next, who's going to get whacked, and how. And yes, Jeffrey, I'm still willing to just get killed in a film. You don't have to give me any lines. Just kill me. That's all you got to do. You'll be doing everyone a favor. I'll probably suggest a few people who would like to just be there just to witness it. The film comes out October 16th. And yeah, that's just like less than a month. Yeah, a few weeks away. Because we're already on the tail end of September, so look for this October 16th. Like I said, the link will be in on the page, and check it out. It's worth a watch. And God is just can't say enough. So cool. Also, speaking of trailers, you know, and I'm still surprised about this. How at this point this show is still going on is a surprise to me, but South Park is still going strong, and they are actually doing a special hour-long pandemic special episode that is supposed to hit September 30th, and it's aimed directly, of course, at, you know, the coronavirus, the pandemic, and you know, what caused it in their mind. So maybe the crab people? I don't know. Butters? What'd you do now, Butters? I mean, I don't know if South Park is just borderline on the ridiculous these days. I mean, the last couple of seasons, although entertaining, are a little getting out there. I mean, no, so more than like Family Guy or Rick and Morty or anything, I guess, when you do a comparison. But I mean, who thought, you know, four obnoxious, loudmouth, disgusting kids would make it this long? So they're what is it, 23 years now? I mean, on Comedy Central, that's okay. Keep going, guys. I'm curious. I mean, I will be watching it. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm not entertained when I watch it. I mean, sometimes I am. Some of them is just like, okay, that was just stupid. And maybe it's, again, not targeted towards me or some of the stuff that I just don't get. But I just don't find it funny, but this, actually, I may find slightly entertaining. My money says Butters did it. Of course, it's always easy to do that. Check it out on Comedy Central, September 30th, 8 p.m. I don't know. I think that's probably Eastern Standard Time for Comedy Central, so you'll want to check your local listings when it'll hit. Other TV trailers to hit was the very strange and compelling WandaVision trailer that, I'm not, it's weird. I mean, it's right properly weird. Now, I know, according to information that I have seen, WandaVision is somehow supposed to lead into Doctor Strange and the Dimensions of Madness, or whatever they're calling it. and we're kind of seeing just how powerful Scarlet Witch is as far as a character is concerned, because she's a powerhouse. I mean, in the comics, she's pretty badass, and they kind of hint at it in Infinity Gauntlet and all of that in the films. So the trailer, I mean, we're getting like different worlds or different kind of takes, and it kind of reminds me of World of X. Yes, I can't remember. I think it's World of X, when Scarlet Witch basically wipes out all of the mutants, like half of the population, or like 3/4 of the population of mutants is wiped out. Because we jump from like this weird, you know, I Love Lucy kind of black and white setting, but with that 70s show thrown in for good measure, and then they're in color, and then of course there's the throwback to like what their costumes look like in the comics, and so we get the Vision in a hoodie that just ridiculous. But I'm really curious. It is just this oddball trailer. And I'm just how they're kind of going back and forth, and I'm really perplexed. And I'm let's face it, I'm going to watch it anyway. I'm compelled now even further to just see. And the bad thing is, I know this is just going to get spoon-fed to us over weeks, because Disney Plus won't do like the big mass release, and that's fine. I understand. I get it. But I'm thinking this is like the one time I'm really getting annoyed that I'm going to have to wait and let this develop instead of being able to binge it, because it just looks so strange. And of course, the first question that pops into your mind is, well, what's going on? Why are they in TV land? And why are they black and white? All good questions. And there's probably a dozen more that came to my mind that I'm not sharing, because it's just like, from reading the comics, and there's a lot of, even just looking at the trailer, there's a lot of things and elements that I can see from the comics getting put into this series that are very reminiscent of some of the past storylines. So wow, okay, give me the story. I mean, of course, Falcon and Winter Soldier have been pushed out to 2021 now, and of course, there's so many rumors flying all over the place when it comes to the Marvel series. Of course, everyone keeps talking about Daredevil, and everyone, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones, and all of that nonsense. Right now, all of that is all rumors, all hearsay. Nothing has been set in stone, and at this point it's just people trying to speculate and fill time, because let's face it, news is a little anemic right now, so let's speculate and put something out there. In fact, maybe I should start my own rumor like I did that one time about them doing a live action Darkwing Duck. That was fun. I'll have to come up with another idea. Another rumor to start, because that one went way farther than I thought it was going to. So bad. Anyway, but with everything going on, I don't think we'll see Black Widow either on the Marvel side. That one's probably going to get pushed out. I don't see that. Let's just say that I honestly think that Disney has learned a lesson that Mulan is not as a failed experiment. Because the money that's coming in isn't where they were hoping it. People aren't jumping onto this. The streaming service is one thing, but to tack on another price is a little bit more. And then, of course, everyone is looking at the subscriptions and people joining on full time. But at some point, I mean, how many people are sharing? How many people already have it? How many people, you know, don't need to renew yet? So it is a different dynamic. It's a different beast that I don't think anyone completely understands yet when it comes to the streaming side of it. No one, you're not going to compete with a theatrical release, especially when you're looking at the masses. And everyone wants that theater experience. Meat and potatoes, I mean, that is a theater going experience, and to watch it at home is kind of wah, wah. So I understand. I completely get it. what this means for movies and all of the, everything moving forward? Excellent question. And I don't have the answer to that. I don't think anyone does. But I haven't seen the numbers from Bill and Ted, which, you know, with the mixed release. Also, I mean, everyone's just kind of, you know, taking stock of their lives. And all I have to say is leave your life stock alone and just focus on what you do best. Movies, going to the theater. Yes, I can see it now. After the fires stop. WandaVision will be the first step into Disney's regular series in Marvel. So how much of a budget? What did they do? Lord only knows. I can only speculate. Did they give us a date? I don't have an absolute concrete date. All they're saying is that it will be in 2020. It remains an arrival. So that's kind of where we're sitting at it. So it's just kind of waiting and chilling out to see what comes up. So I don't know. I'm really curious. And of all the characters to adopt into a series, it makes me pause to kind of scratch my head, like, all right, I guess as far as when you're looking at special effects and makeup, they're probably the easiest to do, especially when you're dealing with Scarlet Witch, and you can still tell some kind of trippy stories and still have that Marvel element to it. But I don't know if they would have been my first choice. The comic series were okay. I mean, they were engaging enough, and maybe it wasn't their medium. Maybe this is the way to tell those stories, a better way to tell those stories. And of course, everyone wants to know, how is Vision back? And did just Scarlet Witch will him back into existence? I mean, I don't think they could rebuild him and make him better. Maybe. I don't know. Perhaps. What else? Moving along. Comics. Not much going on. Well, I guess there is and there isn't. I'm on the fence with the Joker War going on in Batman. I'm waiting to see how they end it. But all in all, just kind of okay, I guess. Other than that, everyone's just kind of moving along. Dan Diodato is going over to the Kubert School of Art as a teacher, which I think that's a great fit for Dan. The man is definitely talented and has a lot to teach up-and-coming artists and future comic and storytellers. So I'd take a class from Dan Diodato. Absolutely. So I don't know. They didn't say when he's going to start teaching, but that he is joining the staff over at Kubert. So cool. In video games. Now, video games has erupted over the last just few hours and days with a bunch of shit hitting the fan. And that big ball of shit happens to be Microsoft buying Bethesda for $7.5 billion. $1 billion. Wow. Holy crap. Microsoft just wants to rule the... See, the more and more we get into this, it's starting to just look like like that one DS9 episode where they go, well, back in their timeline, our future, where it's either the haves or have-nots, and they're all going to be run by gigantic corporations that were all going to either be working for, like, Walmart, Target, Starbucks, Microsoft, Apple. They're just going to be the big, big conglomerates, and they own everything. And Microsoft is not going to be happy until they own it all, evidently. I was talking with my brother when this story broke, because him and I were talking about something else that's coming up here, when this story broke, and he was telling me when Microsoft tried to buy Nintendo, and Nintendo just kind of scoffed at him. They're like, "What? Shut up! No, we're Nintendo. Nobody owns us. We're our own little warriors over here." So it is basically, there's just going to be faction wars, and you know, you work for Apple. Welcome to the Apple Army. Go out there and spread forth the word of Apple. Wow, that sounds like Judge Dredd world. Go out into the wastelands and witness about Apple. At any rate, this changes so much. I mean, I guess it does and it doesn't. I mean, Bethesda is, they do straddle the lines as far as their properties and things that are specific to, like, PlayStation and Xbox. And moving forward, Microsoft said it will honor the exclusives that they have with PS5 through Bethesda. They're not going to adjust those contracts. Everything that was originally slated as an exclusive for PlayStation will remain that way. However, the big change to this was this is what kind of really is going to get me going, and this is probably going to be, if I buy the next console, I am going to be hugely surprised. I know a couple of people have already put their money down on the new Xbox coming out. Peter Parker is one of them, who does Gamer to Gamer, and I'm waiting for him to get it first so I can see what it looks like, but he's already anxious, and as he should. I was anxious to get it, and then I'm starting to see things like this. Now, granted, this may not have as big an impact now, but it sets the landscape for things to come. Because as Bethesda's games are released on PC and console, they will be immediately available for Game Pass. And I know you're probably thinking, well, that's great. I can play it immediately. I don't have to go out and buy it. The problem with this Game Pass is, A, you don't own the game. You're paying a monthly subscription in addition to your live account, which I'm still just kind of slightly annoyed with. If I want to play the game, I'm going to buy the damn game. I don't want it available floating out there in a memory cloud somewhere in the hopes that, oh, maybe I'll feel, you know, like I want to play something different today. And maybe for other gamers this works, but for me, not so much. And I'm sure I'm probably not the target audience for this. But as we go forward, I have the fear that these games are only going to be available through Season Pass, that the exclusivity is primarily aimed towards this because they want not only the subscription, but they also want your monthly dollars, as if, you know, you also purchasing loot boxes and additional in-game content isn't enough. Because it's just, I don't want to be dependent on them to play a game. That just sucks, in my opinion. I mean, and when I speak of dependent, there is the slight possibility of the game leaving the library. So if you're in the middle of a game, and there are some that are leaving the Game Pass menu, that, you know, maybe they're low performers, maybe nobody's playing them, maybe it doesn't have the volume, they're trying to make space for other games, whatever the reason, you're that one person playing Burger Time, and the next thing you know, they serve it up to somebody else. It's gone. Bye-bye. Well, I wasn't done playing that. You don't own the game. You can't continue playing it. And it freaking bites. So for them to be able to dictate what's out there, what's available, I don't like it. It just screams the beginning of the end. And I like the ability, if I want to play a game, I'm going to buy it. I don't need to necessarily be online to enjoy the game, unless, of course, you know, I'm doing the extra content or like RDR2, which we'll get to in a second, you know, going out into the world, interacting, doing some of the other missions. That's fine. I understand that aspect of it, and I'm willing to pay for that. I see value in that. But the streaming service and the Season Pass, making games immediately available on the Season Pass and for console, I know what they're trying to do, and maybe this is what they want. They want to get away from, you know, major releases, hard copies, make it just digital only. There's a lot of benefits to them doing it this way, and it is cost effective. It is the future that we're seeing, and it's happening now. Wow, sound like a commercial. The future's happening now. I don't buy into it. This probably will be my last console. In addition to, the new Xbox isn't going to be backwards compatible for the previous X games. So, I'm on the fence. At any rate, Microsoft is just trying to ruin the world. They've watched Walmart do it. They've watched Disney do it. Now they're going to do it. Like, hey, why not? We'll control every aspect of the gaming world. It will be great. It's not like there are a whole lot of Bethesda games out there. I mean, when I even sat and tried to think of it, I mean, even my brother was just like, so Elder Scrolls is going to be available immediately when they update it? To be fair, there is Wolfenstein, Doom, and Dishonored also in the Bethesda wheelhouse. And then who knows what other games they have in the works or projects that they're involved with. But there's more to this story, I'm sure, to come. I'm just leery. That's all. No biggie. We'll see what happens in addition to everything else for Xbox. But the other part of this was the major Red Dead RDR 2. Looks so good. Red Dead Redemption's online Halloween update will include zombies, more zombies. Oh, and lots of zombies. There was a video that was leaked out to show an influx of different zombies, and it looks terrifying. The video that they released showed 50 undead character models to be discovered, 29 male, 19 female. The 48 zombies are all wearing Halloween outfits, including some cosmetic items and some under the label Army of Fear. This looks terrifying. Already when I'm playing RDR2 and I'm in like the swamplands, that whole area just creeps me out because it is just strange, because you got those weird hillbillies that just come running out at you. You got like the weird creatures that just only show up at night. The whole swampland is just creepy as hell, and I love it. So now we're gonna add zombies. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. This will probably be one of the better Halloween launches. I mean, I'm sure Gears is going to have something. I haven't seen anything too much from anybody else, really, now that I think about it. I mean, the legendary skins for Overwatch are going on right now, and that's kind of difficult to get. I think I got one so far when I was playing with my brother the other night. That was it. Kind of disappointing. But this is so cool. This is a great idea. And it works really well with Red Dead, because Red Dead just seems like this neat little weird pocket of reality that, you know, the Wild West is already kind of, you know, has its own mystere, its level of just kind of like legend mixed with science, and, you know, as the nation's coming of age and the old ways are disappearing and technology is coming in, and it just I love the way RDR's world is established and set up, and it's fun to play. It really is, and I love my character. That's all it's to it. I'm really enjoying it. But zombies, perfect. Yes, absolutely perfect. They haven't said when this update is going to be available. I would expect it shortly, especially if they're already leaking information and images of the characters. They haven't said anything as far as side quests or achievements that are available for it, but I'm sure that will be unveiled within the next week or so as we close in October. Ooh, and this just handed to me. The CW announces that Supergirl is going to end with Season 6. CW announces Supergirl can conclude with Season 6, bringing the long-running Arrowverse series to a close during the network's mid-season lineup. So production was delayed for a number of reasons to bump it already, Corona being one of them, and Melissa expecting her first child. So they were a little behind, and they just kind of delayed it, and they adjusted the schedule accordingly. So now, and I knew this was going to happen, I had a feeling, just because of them bringing Superman in and him based in Smallville, I think I even mentioned this, that I was shocked that they were just going to have two super shows. It just it's too much super. It's just too much. But now they're going to have 20 more episodes, and they're going to wrap up Supergirl in its sixth season. So one more Arrowverse show down as we go into 2021. So they're saying, depending upon schedule and when they can finish filming, this is somewhere going to pop up around between April and July for their mid-season, technically, tentatively, who knows? Just because of production, I'm sure, Melissa giving birth and, you know, making sure everything works out for production. Now, how this affects the other characters and the storyline is an excellent question, which I'm hoping we'll find out. I wouldn't be too upset if Martian Manhunter ended up in Superman, because that would be fun. But there's so many villains that, you know, Supergirl has taken on that are Supermans. This doesn't come as a surprise, but yet it does. I honestly thought we would see Supergirl go a little bit longer, maybe at least another 2 years. That was my guess. I figured Supergirl would go 2 years and then kind of, you know, fade into Superman, or give Superman a chance to either make it or break it, test the water, establish itself with whatever they're doing, especially when you're introducing, you know, Superman's two kids as kind of the stars, and Superman's more in the background with him and Lois in Smallville. I'd be curious. There's also been rumors that Tom Welling is going to pop up and a couple of other, you know, neat little surprises, but I don't know. Supergirl kind of checking out is kind of, wow. Okay, well then, there you go. What else? That kind of wraps up this week. Don't really have a restaurant prepared, just because I was distracted over the weekend, and no real breakdowns, just because I was this weekend was just kind of off. I took more time off just because of being indoors and just wanted to actually get out and enjoy a little bit, relax. I the summer is pretty much all gone, and I don't remember any of it. I don't remember doing anything fun. So taking some time. So no breakdown this week. No restaurant that helped me survive the COVID. If there are restaurants or something you would like to suggest, maybe I've been there, shoot me a direct message. Put it in the comments below. Let me know if there's somewhere you would like for me to go. But yeah, that kind of wraps this week up. So until next week, give us a like. Thank you for listening. Give us a share if you've enjoyed us. Spread the word, because we're more than a podcast. We're a way of life. So laugh hard, run fast, and always be kind.